Is Carnell Tate that type of athlete?
Carnell Tate, nice.
Like, is he the elite?
He's nice, bro.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Well, so that's what we heard.
He's nice.
That's what we heard.
I was just a little surprised myself, like, yeah, you know, and OTAs and stuff going up against him. You know, like you said, I've been around Chris Sheik, some guys.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, there's some plays. I'm just like, man, what?
Michael Thomas.
Mike Thomas. Yeah. Jarvis. Yeah. You feel what I'm saying? I'm going against Tate a few times. I'm like, man, what? Like, yeah, you got that in your bag? Like, right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. That's cool. But he's gonna be really good, man. I think camp, you know, get him in the heat a little bit, getting in shoulder pads, things like that, getting into some real football stuff will also elevate, you know, that side of his game. But I think he's gonna be really, really good for us. He's gonna help us a lot.
Welcome everyone to another episode of the Music City Audible, a Tennessee Titans podcast. I'm your host, Justin Graver, full-time NFL podcast producer for Odyssey, and joining me as always, the managing editor of TitanSize.com, publisher for NFL Draft on SI, my co-host and the yada yada king, Justin Mello. Justin, we had a few tech difficulties. We're shaking the rust off, you know, it's our first live stream in 4 weeks. And just like Titans players reporting for training camp, the rookies yesterday, the vets on Tuesday, we're all knocking off a little bit of rust here, getting back in the groove of things. How you doing? Happy Friday, Justin.
I'm doing well, doing well. It's also the start of training camp on the Music City Audible podcast, as you mentioned. Some random technical difficulties that we made no sense. I think just kind of the app bugging out here, but I've got the headphones in and that seemed to have resolved the issues. It's been a few weeks since we've done a live stream, so like you said, knocking the rust off, but I am so happy to be back in the saddle, not only with my co-host, Justin Braver at Titans Field, but more importantly, the Music City Audible, the Audible Army. So excited to be here with you guys on this Friday morning.
Yeah, the clip I played there at the top, I told you guys about it yesterday. That's Alante Taylor on the In the Bayou podcast with Tyrann Mathieu, talking about Titans rookie receiver Carnell Tate. If you missed yesterday's episode, talking about rookie expectations on the day the rookies reported for training camp, go check that one out. Today, we're going to do a little bit broader talk about just kind of training camp storylines to keep an eye on, some roster moves the Titans have made on Thursday and what that means for this team, some concerns that we have, and then we're going to get into the live chat Q&A. Excited to be back with everybody. Justin, I think before we dive in, we should do something that we haven't had to do in about 4 weeks now.
You've got to hit the
thing. We got some super chats. Walmart man, $4.99. My Justins have returned to me, and our Walmart man has returned to us. Thanks for being here this morning, Walmart man. And another one from Christian Romo. Welcome back, yada yada king. That's you, Justin. You have any special words of thanks for Christian?
It's good to be back, Christian. Thanks for joining the first live stream in a couple weeks. We've got a good one on deck for you, so we're happy you're here.
Yeah, and I am seeing some questions come in the chat. I'll star those, and we'll get to them after we get through a little bit of discussion here, Justin. Let's talk about the roster moves. The Titans on Thursday placed two players on the physically unable to perform list, safety Amani Hooker and right tackle J.C. Latham. Paul Kaharsky reported that these are not serious injuries and that they should be back on the field in due time, which is great news because Amani Hooker, maybe they can survive without him. I'd rather they not have to. J.C. Latham, I honestly don't know how they survive without him, and we'll talk about that in just a second, because the Titans also waived tackle Ryan Hayes and signed journeyman tackle Zach Thomas. I checked out Zach Thomas's PFF grades. Not good. So this is not like some swing tackle depth signing that's going to make the roster for sure. This is a guy competing for the last O-line spot, I think. Justin, the PUP stuff, obviously, it's not ideal, the PUP list, but according to Paul Kaharsky, it's not as bad as it could be, I guess.
Yeah, and Titans fans, I get it. I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of reactions specifically to the J.C. Latham one. It's hard to gather because you look around the league right now. I've paid attention. You notice a lot of teams are placing guys on the PUP list. Seems like if you're got a paper cut, you know, you're kind of going on there right now, taking advantage of that roster designation, because remember, you don't have to miss any time. Players placed on the PUP before training camp, can be activated at any time. There's no minimum amount, time period they've got to stay on the PUP for. So hard to gather how serious it is. But when you're a guy like J.C. Latham, who got hurt in camp last year, and they said it wasn't a big deal, and then aggravated it in week one, missed a couple weeks with that, and then came back initially a shell of himself and played poorly, I get the overreactions, right? It's a huge year for him. This GM didn't draft him. We know that. It's going to be his third professional season, which means two things. Number one, they got to make the decision on his fifth-year option next offseason. He also becomes eligible for an extension next offseason. A lot of people forget those two things happen in the same offseason. So it's a massive, massive year for J.C. Latham. On top of it, they don't have tackle depth. You know, they don't have anyone that we think could play that spot, even in a pinch. We're worried about the right guard. Can you imagine if the right side of this line is Cordell Volson and Brandon Crenshaw Dixon? I mean, they'll have one of the worst offensive lines in football, possibly, if J.C. Latham's not healthy and playing well. So I get the overreactions to it. It's a huge year for this guy. Injury derailed him last year. You don't like to see this. And he missed part of the offseason workouts with an undisclosed injury, right? There were times he wasn't on the field. And there was already been questions about, he's a Rand Carthon guy. I don't know. You wonder if Mike Borgonzi truly, truly likes him. I'm worried about J.C. Latham. And the only thing that can calm those concerns is him getting back on the field ASAP, staying healthy, and reports coming out that he's, practicing well at training camp. Until then, I think we're clenched up here a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, the Titans did sign Austin Deculus this offseason, and he is the, right now, de facto swing tackle, just because there's nobody else. Austin Deculus played a lot of football last year because he was the Chargers' swing tackle, and the Chargers' top two tackles both got hurt last year. He didn't play particularly well. I think he is probably a below-replacement-level player, not even a replacement-level player. Like,
it's putting it nicely. He was terrible last year.
He was terrible, but he played a lot, and experience is helpful. I mean, it's better than putting Brendan Crenshaw Dixon out there. He has no experience, basically. So, look, here's where I'm at on J.C. Latham. Like, I think you are fooling yourself if you're not concerned about his career trajectory. I mean, you laid out how everything went last year with the injuries and how bad that set his entire season back, even when he was, healthy again. He missed basically all of spring. Did he even participate in a single OTA session? I'm not sure. My memory's fuzzy on that, but I know he missed a lot of the spring stuff.
There was like an injury and a graduation, right? So there was two things.
He was definitely absent and then not on the field when he was present. So, look, he's already behind the installation of a brand new offense with, obviously, the entire staff is new on the offensive side of the ball, especially, I mean, Luke Stocker remains. Basically, everyone else is new. It's a new scheme. It's a new run scheme. You have new protection calls, new protection plans with Carmen Brasillo as the O-line coach, with Brian Daboll as the offensive coordinator. Everything's different. And J.C. Latham hasn't had a chance to go get reps in this new system. So now, starting training camp on the PUP list, that's a further setback. We talked about this 2 months ago, Justin, we'll see how, if he's back and ready to go for training camp. I assume that's the plan. You know, they're just being cautious here at the end of mini camp, mandatory mini camp, and they're going to hold him out for this. And, he'll probably be back in training camp, and that's when we can really assess this. Well, he's not. He's not back for training camp. And I get it. It's a minor injury. He'll be back on the field soon, all that. I'm trying not to overreact. And I think, if he misses 5 days of training camp, that's not ideal, but you can live with that. If it's
2 weeks
until the first. Yeah, if we're a week until the first preseason game and there's like three practices left before the first preseason game and J.C. Latham's still on the PUP. Sorry if that makes anyone feel weird. If J.C. Latham's still on the PUP list, then we have a problem. We have a serious problem. So, look, I'm not pressing the panic button yet, but like, here's the panic button. My hand is like, I'm hovering, man. Like, J.C. Latham, more than anything, it's frustrating. It's like, dude, get your stuff together and get on the field. I don't know.
Yeah, he's got to figure it out. And look, maybe he doesn't even miss a single practice. I don't know how this works, right? Like, I don't necessarily, there is no timeline that he's got to be on that list for. So they could take, they're still 4 or 5 days away before they report. they could take him off before the first practice, right? So we'll see. And as Hershey just mentioned in the chat, I know we were starting questions, but there are some good swing tackles in free agency. Jack Conklin is out there. Cam Robinson is out there. A Taylor Decker, I imagine, is looking for a bigger opportunity. But there are good players available in free agency, way better than what they have. And I think they've got to have, you know, given J.C. Latham's track record over these last 12 months, they've got to have a better plan than Austin Deculus or Brandon Crenshaw-Dixon. Will Lomas wrote a great article on Titan Size the other day, something that he caught. Lomas is great at catching things in the Jim Wyatt mailbags. I don't read them enough. I love them. I wish I had more time. But Jim Wyatt wrote in a mailbag, and we know Jim always kind of prefixes everything with, I'm not leaning on sources, even though I work for the team, just kind of doing his own analysis, which he's very good at. He mentioned that someone asked about signing a right guard, and Jim mentioned in the mailbag, and Will wrote a great article on it. I don't think so. I'm paraphrasing, but I do see them signing a swing tackle at some point. So they've got to bring one of those guys.
I've been saying that for months that they need to sign a swing tackle. This is an interesting point here. I want to rebut this point from Dabetta 303. Like A to Z pointed out, though, he's only missed four games in his Titans career. He may seem often injured, but that's not the case. It's not about actual games missed. This comment from Roster Grids kind of sums it up very, very well. Latham has had health problems, attitude problems, accountability problems, penalty problems, and quality of play problems. So it's not just that the injuries have taken him off the field. It's that the injuries have hampered his ability to get better at football, to be fully ready to play.
And that
when he came back from the injury last year, he was terrible for a stretch of like two months before he finally put it together a little bit.
He gave up three sacks in the first game back to Max Crosby in the Raiders game, right? Like, I don't, that's my point. I don't care that he didn't miss that game. He might have been better off missing that game, right? Like, I don't care that it says he's missed four games. He was terrible in some of those games when he got back, right? And again, I thought he finished relatively strong. Penalty, it's mental issues too, right? Like the penalties were a massive problem when he got back, false starts and different things. So yes, I think it's more about accountability than it is missed games. He wasn't at it. I think he's a good football player. I really do. Movement skills, size, like, there's a lot going in his favor. And he has played high level football for decent stretches throughout his career. Again, like, don't get me wrong, I like J.C. Latham, the football player, when he's healthy and available and not shooting himself in the foot. There's just been too many instances, too many stretches. I wrote an article this morning about it. Like, they got the news they didn't want to get on J.C. Latham. Pro Football Focus, I didn't realize they had him giving up like 14 sacks last year. Or was it? Hold on. I'm going to pull it up because I don't want to be wrong. It was like 8 sacks and 14 penalties, or the other way around. I'm like, that's pretty outrageous. I've got it right here. They had him giving up 8 sacks, which was 80th out of 89 qualifying tackles, and 14 penalties, which was 87 of 89. Now, you know, we always say the same thing, right? Pro Football Focus, grain of salt. But I remember last year thinking he had major penalty issues. Penalties aren't a, you know, PFF grading stat. He took 14 penalties, right? Like, it's more how he's been hampered by the stuff than it is actual missing time.
Right, so he will miss, maybe, we don't actually know this, we think he's going to miss some practice, but Justin.
We're talking about practice, man.
Okay, it's not a game, it's a practice. I do think there are some things worth pointing out here, players that didn't land on the PUP list, which wasn't really news or reported as news because they didn't land on PUP list, but there's guys that are recovering from big-time injuries that seem to be fully healthy, at least healthy enough to take the field for some portions of activities. Let's talk about those guys, Justin, right after a quick break for the audio audience. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. We talk about mental health more openly now, but asking for help can still feel hard, and BetterHelp's latest research confirms it.
BetterHelp's 2026 State of Stigma report surveyed 2,000 Americans and revealed that 85% of Americans believe getting support is wise, yet 74% say society discourages people from actually doing so. What can we as a society do to close this gap between believing in mental health support and actually seeking it out?
Well, we can start by encouraging each other to seek support when we need it. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, you should know that BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform.
All you have to do to get started is fill out a short questionnaire, and BetterHelp takes care of matching you with a therapist. The best part? If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from any of BetterHelp's tailored recommendations.
Don't let stigma stand in the way of support. Start therapy with BetterHelp. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com. Welcome back, audio audience. All right, Justin, some guys who didn't land on PUP list that had a chance to based on their injury histories last season, recovery status, participation in mandatory minicamp, all that stuff. Femi Oladejo, top of the list for me.
Yeah.
Very, very encouraged to see that he is not on this list, that he will at least be on the field for training camp. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to be a full go. If anyone's following the rest of the NFL, you probably know that Malik Nabers, for instance, did not land on the Giants PUP list, but they still plan to bring him along slowly. So that's the situation it could be for Femi. Femi could be full go day one of training camp. That would be awesome. But Femi not on the PUP list. Other guys, Calvin Ridley, obviously working back from a broken leg, big time injury. Nick Singleton had foot issues coming into rookie minicamp and was a limited participant, if he was even participating at all during the spring stuff. All these guys are healthy. Was there anyone else I'm missing, Justin, that we should be encouraged is not on the PUP list?
Some of those guys that ended on IR last year, but we knew they were healthy, but like Kevin Winston and Marcus Harris, right? Like the big sophomores who are set up for starting roles who didn't play in week 18 due to, I think, both had hamstring issues, I think, in those final weeks went on IR. But Femi Oladejo is definitely the big one. I'm glad you brought this up because I'll be honest with you. When I saw the guys that went on the PUP, for some reason, my mind didn't go to, well, who didn't go on the PUP? And so Femi Oladejo, Calvin Ridley, those are some, pretty big ones heading into training camp.
Yeah, and we're very excited about those guys. Justin, I wanted to quickly cover some training camp upcoming schedule dates, things that are going to be happening. The Titans' first open practice to the public is Saturday, August 1st. They have a live in-person Nissan Stadium scrimmage practice on August 7th, and then they have joint practices coming up right after that. They will be in Santa Clara on August 11th before their August 13th preseason game with the San Francisco 49ers. They will then practice with the Seahawks in Nashville on August 21st. I believe that one is open to the public as well. Then they play the Seahawks in their August 23rd preseason game. And finally, they have a third joint practice, this one with the Bears, also in Nashville. And again, I'm pretty sure that one's open to the public. I'll have to recheck the open training camp dates. And then they play the Bears in their final preseason game. I like that the Titans are doing three joint practices this year. As far as my time covering the team, which goes back to 2014, I've never seen the Titans do joint practices with three other clubs.
Yeah.
I think the more the better. I think that's when you can actually, A, learn about your team against an opponent that isn't yourself, and B, evaluate your players and actually get better against players on the other teams who are trying to make the team, who are trying to impress their coaches, who are trying to earn playing time. That to me is way more valuable than extra training camp practices against yourself. And so kudos to Robert Saleh for setting these up, because I think it's going to be very beneficial for hitting the ground running in week one.
Robert Saleh, I remember him mentioning when he got introduced how much he values joint practices, more so than preseason games. I think he might have even said so. Not surprised that he went through terrific lengths to schedule as many of these as he could. I mean, he's essentially maxed out. He got a joint practice with every team on the preseason schedule. I mean, that's essentially unheard of. So, full disclosure to the Audible Army, I'm going to be on a vacation for some of that stuff in mid-August. Graver's going to hold down the fort, though. We're not missing a beat here. He's still going to be doing live shows after some of those open training camp practices, the Nissan scrimmage. You're not going to miss the updates at all. And when I'll be back, obviously, we'll resume. I am missing that first joint practice, I believe, and the first preseason game, unfortunately. I apologize. I'll be in Portugal taking... Yeah, Hershey actually... Yes, I am hitting the Azores, Hershey. That's where I'm going for only for a week in Portugal. My parents are celebrating 50 years of marriage, and me and my brothers wanted to take them on a nice trip back to the homeland. So yes, Graveyard's going to be hitting the graveyard shift, as Nathan Smith noted. I'm only going for a week, so I won't be gone long. But yeah, Graver's going to have to hold down the fort for those first couple, for that first joint practice, that first preseason game. Then I'll be back before you know it.
How about that? We're going to call these pods when you're out the graveyard shift. I love it. I love the name, Nathan. Thank you for the suggestion. Hershey with a great comment here. They're doing all these joint practices, Justin, so they can scout these other teams for potential swing tackle replacement. Way to go, Hershey, with that comment. Let's get to some of the questions that I started early on here. This is an interesting one, also from Hershey. Who's everyone's top Titan target in fantasy, Carnell or Tony? Well, Hershey, ooh, for me, it depends on roster construction, because both of these guys, like, it depends on what kind of drafts you're doing. I've been doing a lot of, like, 12-team best ball drafts, and in those, Carnell Tate usually goes in the fifth, maybe sixth round. Tony Pollard usually, like, seventh or eighth round. And for me, if I haven't drafted a lot of wide receivers yet, if I'm, like, heavy on running backs, maybe I got a tight end or a elite quarterback that I like, I'm targeting Carnell Tate in all of those drafts because to me, like, I mean, look, maybe I'm too optimistically biased, Justin, but we all heard Alante Taylor at the top of this show, right? If you didn't, if you joined us late, like, start over, go back to the beginning, watch Alante Taylor, then come back and hear what I'm about to say. I think Carnell Tate's going to produce like a wide receiver one, like maybe not every single week. Maybe he's closer to a wide receiver two many weeks. I don't know how consistent he's going to be from a week-to-week basis, but I do feel like he's going to be a heavy target in this offense, a focus point, a focal point for Cam Ward and Brian Daboll. And so I'm treating Carnell Tate like a player that should be going in the third or fourth round that I can get in the fifth or sixth round. And so Carnell Tate has been my top target. Now, on the flip side, if I start a draft heavy at receiver and I'm weak at running back, then Tony Pollard is one of the guys that I'm like, there is a true RB1 sitting way down the ADP draft board that I can grab late and shore up my running back room and at least feel a little bit better about not getting one of the guys at the top of the draft. I don't know if you've thought about this at all yet, Justin. It's not even August, but hey, we got a question about it, so I'm answering.
Yeah, I might be targeting Carnell Tate at some point. I can't help myself. Hit the drop. I want to hear it.
I need a bigger heads up than that, FYI.
Yeah,
Carnell Tate. Carnell Tate.
He hit it twice because he was late on it. Carnell Tate is the Titan that I'm targeting in fantasy football. Working out the kinks still clearly as Graver takes an extra second.
Yeah. All right. Any other questions here? We talked about whether or not they signed a swing tackle. And they did sign Austin Deculus, but they haven't signed a real swing. They haven't signed a real swing tackle quite yet. Any other questions? Get your questions in, yeah, fellas.
I think we might have missed. I think there was a super chat that we did not hit the drop for.
Good call.
We keeping a book right now.
Bruce Bako 6097. It will be disappointing if they don't spend some cash to bolster the O line, won't it? I mean, I don't know exactly what you mean or what you're expecting at this point. The only cash spending I would expect is a swing tackle, which means like signing a backup. They're not going to look. Maybe they will. Maybe they 2 weeks into training camp and they're like, man, our right guard situation is not good. Let's go sign somebody. But I think that they are very comfortable letting whoever between Cordell Volson and Jackson Slater, whoever wins that job, I think they're pretty comfortable letting that player start. I'm not expecting them to go spend a lot of cash on the O-line. I don't want them to. I don't need them to. I just need them to feel good about the right guard and to have a swing tackle that isn't going to sink the entire season if one of your tackles has to miss time.
Well, it's interesting, Bruce, and I think we'll look back on this a year from now. I hope we're not saying, how did the Titans spend a league-high amount of money in free agency and end up opting for Austin Schlotman and Cordell Volson? In like, you know, kind of low cost options to start at center and right guard. But listen, we can't complain about them not spending money. They spent more money than anybody in all the free agency, but certainly that money was not spent on the offensive line. So we'll see how they measure up. But you know, at this point in free agency, Bruce, there's not really anyone that's commanding a ton of money, right? I mean, maybe does Kevin Zeitler get $8 million for one season? Does Jack Conklin get $6 million? You know, one of these guys gets not a whole lot, but certainly, you know, there might be some opportunities if they want to, you know, to go sign someone still.
Yeah, we'll see what they decide to do. But I don't think it's necessarily disappointing if they don't spend some cash to bolster the O-line to literally answer your question. Rob Campagna. Hope I'm saying that right.
You still nailed that. You got a borderline Italian, borderline Italian. Who your wife speaks a little Italian, and you nailed the pronunciation of Rob's last name.
She grew up speaking Italian. Doesn't speak That's a little. That's right. Her native tongue.
I always forget because she's from Switzerland, but it's her native tongue. You nailed the pronunciation of Rob's last name. I gotta say.
Thank you. Still in need of another outside cornerback. No. I don't think so. I mean, they signed three this offseason. I feel good about, you know, Micah Robinson being your cornerback four on the outside. I mean, I don't feel good about it, but like, look around the NFL. How many cornerback fours do you feel good about? I feel fine with Micah Robinson being that player. I mean, Alante Taylor and Cordell Flott, like, stay healthy, you're fine. Josh Williams, like, I like Josh Williams. He's had trouble staying healthy, but he's a pretty good player when he can stay healthy. And like, to have him as cornerback three, that feels good to me.
I get where Rob's coming from because if those guys get hurt, we'll probably find ourselves in a situation where like they didn't have enough depth there. But you can only do so much in one offseason, right? They gave Flott and Taylor huge money. I do think Josh Williams is a fine, you know, Daryl Baker replacement. I think he's kind of played at a similar level in the NFL. Next offseason, they'll probably need to spend a pick at corner, maybe not a super high one, but a fourth round pick and try to get better on the back end. But I think they're pretty content going into the season with what they've got.
I mean, how much more do you expect them to do? They signed three outside corners this offseason. I don't know what jewels are, Justin.
I have no idea what this means. 250 jewels.
Let me tell you something. When I signed into StreamYard this morning, which is the program we use to broadcast to you guys, I got a big message that said StreamYard can now show jewels live in your chat. And I'm like, okay, cool. What are jewels? I don't know what jewels are. But hey, EG Elite, really appreciate the 250 jewels. I think that means something good. If anyone wants to let us know in the live chat what the heck jewels are, we'd appreciate it. And Justin,
we keeping a book.
Big super chat from Lemdaz here. I'm very late, but live streams are back. Thank you so much for this super chat, Lemdaz. We really, really appreciate you.
Yeah, I think like someone said, my favorite brand of cough drop. I get the reference. I don't know if that's perfect execution, but I get the reference. And Lemdaz, thank you so, so much for the very, very generous super chat tip. Thanks a million.
EG Elite says he got free jewels from YouTube and decided to use some on us. I think it's a type of currency similar to Twitch's currency. I don't know what currency Twitch uses. Do we get money for this, Justin? Or is it just
I'm assuming not, but maybe it's a YouTube thing. Does it recommend us? I don't know what it does, but I'm going to Google later. What is the benefit of jewels on YouTube and figure that out?
I'm going to ask Claude if it can tell me what it is. Gavis Concon, excuse me for pronouncing that. I could see some real big changes to the offensive line. Start Coogan at center and whoever plays best at tackle. Again, we did this yesterday, Justin. It's exciting to have rookies that you can feel excited about. But you also need to be realistic about a day three rookie who is not even in the competition for the starting job, somehow winning the starting job. This guy is fighting to make the roster, okay? Day three rookies, I don't care, fourth round or seventh round. You're trying to just prove that you belong in the league at all. You're not going out and winning a starting job. So,
Gavis, they signed...
Gavis.
They signed Austin Schlotman in free agency because he played for offensive coordinator Brian Daboll last year. He played for offensive line coach Carmen Brasillo last year. He knows the system really well. This isn't even close to happening. Austin Schlotman is your starting center, Gav. Austin Schlotman is your starting center, Gav. And I think Roster Grids is correct. Pat Coogan will be a healthy scratch in week one. That's one of my predictions to start the season.
Yeah, I agree. It's Gav is Concon, not Gavis Concon. Justin, Gav. I got to go. I'm really sorry, everybody. I know we're only 30 minutes into the stream, and sometimes we've gone for 45 minutes to an hour on Fridays. But like I said, we're knocking the rust off. Before we go, Justin, the team's open practices at the Vanderbilt Health Football Center are Saturday, August 1st, Monday, August 3rd, Tuesday, August 4th, Sunday, August 9th, Monday, August 17th, Friday, August 21st, joint practice with the Seahawks, and Thursday, August 27th, joint practice with Chicago. One other note, the Seahawks are on Hard Knocks, which means that joint practice is going to be on Hard Knocks. So if you enjoyed quarterback with Cam Ward, but you wanted more, check it out. I'm sure that episode will feature plenty of Titans moments. I'm pretty excited about that.
Could I just click end the stream and answer this? Oh, okay, if you had to go and I can answer one or two more questions, but if I wanted to answer this one. We're asking Flott and Taylor to be the guys, but are they ready or do what hope, like, are they capable of doing what we, I don't see why not. I don't really understand the question. I mean, they're starting caliber corners that started all the time for the New York Giants and the New Orleans Saints. Like, the Titans aren't asking them to do anything they haven't already done for the most part. Right. So I've got confidence. So $15 million a year for Flott, $19 million a year for Taylor, starting caliber corners.
Nash Rust says, thanks for the best Titans podcast. No, thank you, Nash Rust, for the kind words, for showing up every Friday, and for supporting the channel, for being part of the Audible Army. We couldn't do it without you guys. If we did, we'd have nobody. We'd just be talking to ourselves. So we really, literally couldn't do it without you guys. And I don't know what this means, Justin, but I'm going to hit the thing because it's gracious. Showing up in our chat as if it's like a donation. So purpose over pleasure, 1,000 jewels, goat trophy. I don't know, goat trophy. And also, Justin, as we sign off here, LeBron James is signing with the Philadelphia 76ers. What?
I hate it. That's weird. Okay. I don't know. Yeah. Like, I don't love him ending his legacy somewhere else. That's just strange to me.
It's weird. I mean, he's chasing a ring, I guess. But all right, everybody. We appreciate you all for tuning in. We will be back on Monday. We're going to do two final training camp previews, deep dives into the team, the roster battles, the storylines, everything we're looking for. Monday, we're going to talk about the offense. Tuesday, which is the Titans report date, we're going to talk about the defense. Wednesday, the team takes the field, I believe, for their first practice. Saturday, first open practice to the public. I'm not exactly sure what that means, Justin. I have a fuzzy memory of last year, but we're still going to get beat writer reports from the first on-field practice, even though it's not open to the general public, right?
Yes, correct. Yes, correct.
Correct. So Wednesday, we'll have a lot to talk about as the Titans take the field. All right. Any final thoughts, Justin? You want to sign us off?
No, that'll do it. Appreciate you guys. Glad you enjoyed the return of the live stream. This is going to be consistent now, you know, the rest of the way. Really, no more Fridays off from the live stream. So we'll be here every week as the Titans ramp up their preparation for the 2026 season, reporting to training camp next week. Until then, y'all stay safe out there and tighten up.
A Broadway Sports Media production.